Hey, everybody. This is Brett. Today's May 18th, and welcome back to the show. What you're going to hear is my conversation with Jeff Bliss, recorded last night. Here's something I'd like to do. I'd like to either start a thread on the Facebook page or at schoolsucksproject.com, kind of a resource suggestion list. I want to prepare a little package that I can send to Jeff with links and stuff that I think you should check out, but I would love to hear your suggestion. So I'll try to get that thread going on Facebook either later today or tomorrow. Some of you might be saying, Brett, isn't schoolsucksproject.com a package of resources to send to somebody like Jeff? Well, first of all, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I agree. I think it is. But lots of stuff outside as well. We definitely mentioned Gatto during the show. So if you want to contribute to that, I will definitely let people know when it is available. Check our Facebook page, check our website, or you can just throw it in the comments for this show. That's it. We'll get right to it. Thanks for listening. Have a good day. First of all, welcome. Like I said to you earlier, I definitely appreciate your time. I know you're busy. I was really encouraged when I saw your video, first of all, to see someone your age, you know, or someone who's in school speaking out. But also, I was really encouraged by how much positive feedback there was and positive press. I mean, it's been pretty much positive, right?
For the most part, yeah. There's the few who are pretty biased about it, but that's expected.
Yeah, yeah. Another thing that I thought was interesting is that you have this online name, The Real Jeff Bliss. Are there imposters?
Yeah, there's the few group of people who, you know, try to impersonate you.
Do you think they're doing that with some kind of agenda, or did someone like bring it to your attention and say, "Hey, there's imposters and they're trying to paint you like this," or how did you even discover that?
My brother had Yeah, telling me that there was people on Twitter and Facebook making accounts, you know, trying to not really to slander me, but kind of try to make an impression of what my opinions and views might be.
Yeah. See, that was one of the things, like, I know I know you're doing. How many interviews do you think you've done at this point?
Probably in the double digits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's been some television. Is that why you went to Los Angeles yesterday?
Yeah.
And what was that out there that you did?
It was just a quick radio interview. There's some other things that legally I can't speak about yet.
But, cool. Yeah. Well, see, my thinking was I wanted to get to you sooner than later because, like I said, I was so happy to see the response to this. But I also... From what I gathered about you from just, you know, hearing some of these interviews, you were really influenced by Ron Paul. So you're probably wise to how a lot of the political PR works and how, you know, people in government often try to put a face to or personalize an agenda. So
yeah.
I just have this nightmare of like, Obama invites Jeff Bliss to the White House for milkshakes and the teachers unions latching on to you. And like a lot of the people who I really think are part of the problem with the public school system in America, trying to make you the face of their agenda. But the more I learned about you, the more I realized that you would probably be able to defend yourself from that. But has there been any attempt to do that you can speak of? I understand if you can't.
There hasn't been any major attacks. I've had some slander brought up by many liberal
yeah
liberal views, but it's for the most part hasn't really been an attack on me, just minor slander and biased opinions.
So I had a feeling that there would be some of that. What about at the school? Has there been any action like on the school's part? Because this has been almost 2 weeks. So has there been any action on the school's part, positive or negative?
As in
discipline or you?
Towards me. Yeah. There hasn't been any discipline set towards me. But from what I've heard, supposedly, I've had a friend of mine who has a friend whose dad works at the school. And from what I've been told, that there is a group of teachers who are, I wouldn't say plotting, to get me in trouble, but who are watching my every move.
Mm. So they kind of want to maybe pin something on you?
Yes, yeah.
They want you to pay for what you did. You know, one of the things that I was thinking, too, is that you, in the original video, you have this teacher that you're confronting who seems apathetic. And usually on my show, I don't have, like, a tremendous amount of sympathy for them. But I think that, you know, what I've realized, because I worked in not public school, but I was a teacher for a long time, and I certainly had a lot of exposure to the public school system through what I do. And I realized that that system, that environment can really wear the teachers down just like it wears the students down. I mean, I think it has a much more harmful effect on students, but the teachers get to a point where they just kind of give up because they realize like they're just drilling kids for these standardized tests. Was this an older woman, a younger woman?
Not old, but not young.
Yeah, so she had been there for a while.
For a couple years she had been teaching, I believe.
Yeah, I remember like when I was training to be a teacher, and I'm up in New Hampshire right now, but I went to school in Massachusetts, and I was going with a lot of people. I was in graduate school with a lot of these people who were already public school teachers, and all they did was complain about these standardized tests. They gave speeches in these graduate classes that didn't sound too different than what you were trying to say to her about, you know, this isn't how people learn. This isn't like a real educational experience.
First off, it's what I've noticed is a lot of people think that I'm blaming the teachers. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case. It's not just the teachers. It's not just students. It's not just the administration. It's a collective of everything. And, you know, we have students who come in that are, you know, they don't care. They don't see the point. And then there's teachers who don't care. And then the administrative people don't care. And it's all just one giant cluster of nonsense because we have, you know, there's no child left behind. And then the government comes in and they pass new laws. And it just, it's a failing system, and it's beyond the teachers and the students and the parents. It's the people above that.
Sure. And when you say something like failing system, I think that's a term that's thrown, the word failure is thrown around a lot in these discussions about the public school system. And you might have noticed, I mean, I know we've only been talking for like 7 or 8 minutes here, but you might have noticed that I don't say the term public education because I think it's real important to separate and differentiate schooling from education. And what we do on my show is we define education as something that's lifelong and that's really up to the individual. And I've heard you echo that in some of your statements. And I think that's really important that it's something that you're in charge of personally. It's not something that you go to a place and somebody gives to you. And schooling is very different. Schooling is very much about, you know, control and dependence. So how do you define education? I mean, what do you think? What is it to you?
A lot of times in school, you just get simple information to pass the next test. And when all you're given is information, you're not gaining real knowledge, which, you know, the knowledge is where you get the wealth and you get the power from. If all you're getting is simple information to pass the next test, you're not learning anything that you can apply to your life, apply to yourself to correlate to real everyday living. It's here's the information, pass the test. Go on to the next grade. And if that's all we're doing, then we're not teaching kids. We're just passing kids. And that's the big issue. If we're not giving the kids the true value of knowledge, then we're failing them. We are failing them.
Who is the we that you speak of?
I'd probably say these. It's hard to say we as a, If the teachers, if the students, if the administrative authorities, if they don't care to make the system better, mm-hmm. then we can expect to have the same mediocre education given.
Yeah, it is hard. You said it's hard to say we. It is hard to say we for a group that you're really not a part of. You know, when you're talking about the bureaucracy. And I totally agree with what you're saying, that and I'll say it again, that a lot of teachers go in there. A lot of them are very idealistic. They want to make a positive impact on kids. And the system that really, it's hard to personify that. It's hard to put a face to a giant system like public school. But yeah, it's not them. I think as their careers go on, they do wind up contributing to the problem.
Yeah. If we as the collective of students, parents, and teachers feel as if, well, I don't care anymore, nothing's going to change, then we wouldn't expect anything to change. Sure. So, you know, I can give a speech and point out what's going on, but I can't be the only person to make a change. It has to be a collective group of actions of many people.
Well, let me ask you this. What were the influences? Like, we all saw this video that showed up online a few days back. What would you say were the influences, whether they be, you know, people or events or media or life experience for you that led up to that moment there where you say, I'm going to voice my frustration about this teacher? I know you mentioned Ron Paul. I don't know if there's other influences in what brought that situation up in school.
Well, Ron Paul, he was one of the biggest influences to me having a better understanding of what's important for the future and what's important for the next generation. You know, as I stated in the video, that this is the future of this nation. And to say that that's not true would be a completely false accusation. And if we're not willing to embrace this and make a serious change towards it, then we're stuck in the same position. And over the course of the last year, I had dropped out for a year. Mm-hmm. And one thing I learned very fast was, if you don't have any kind of high school education, your chances of making something in life, in creating a positive influence for the future, is going to be slim to none. It's almost impossible.
What do you think about homeschooling or other forms of more self-directed education?
I think homeschooling is great. It at that point, it comes down to the parent and the child. And right now, what's happening is a lot of government action is being taken into homeschooling to try and control that environment in what parents can teach their own children. And I think that that's something that they should completely leave themselves out of. If a parent wants to take and teach their own child, I think that that should be their right.
I think, you know, from my experience too, and the study and time that I put into education versus schooling, and it's been, you know, for me, like 12 or 13 years, it leads to a better experience for the individual as well. Like, when you were talking to that teacher about getting people excited, I think it's possible to a point, but I think that real learning happens when the person or the learner has a genuine excitement about something that comes from the inside. Yeah. And I think that school is a lot of, you know, people slamming their head into the wall because it has to be all things to all people. It has this uniformity to it. It has this collectivism to it, where everyone is kind of mushed together in groups and expected to learn the same things. And nobody is going to be excited about the same things. And, you know, I said in a recent show that one of the dangers of a bad teacher, like, not all teachers might be bad teachers, but bad teachers are dangerous because they can destroy somebody's enthusiasm for something.
Exactly. Because I was homeschooled for a while, mm-hmm. from my mother. And one of the biggest things that I learned from being homeschooled is the education. A lot of times when I say make education exciting, a lot of people want to think that that's, you know, entertainment. But it's not entertainment. It's just It's the idea that you have fun learning, and the person that's teaching you is making that fun for you. If we can't make learning fun and exciting for students, then of course they're going to be bored. Of course they're not going to want to have to learn this, because there's nothing exciting about it. It's just mindless, sit down, conform, do what you're told. It's been dragged on for way too long in this country.
Let me ask you this, my experience was I was very, very frustrated as a teacher for a long time, trying to make things exciting. And ultimately, I came to the conclusion that that model just didn't work. I mean, like, the school might have been great for, you know, industrialists and people trying to build armies in like the 19th century, where you get a bunch of people to go and sit still and follow directions and do what they're told. And I realized that that seemed to be more the function of it than education. Have you ever looked into the history of school, or what are your thoughts on that? Does it sound like a conspiracy theory to you?
Honestly, I do believe it is a conspiracy theory. I wouldn't even call it a conspiracy theory. I'd call it reality.
Oh, okay, good. So you call it a real conspiracy.
Yeah, it's reality. I believe it was John Dewey who implemented public schooling.
He was actually considered to be kind of a reformer, because he came along about 40 or 50 years after the system started in the United States. And, a lot of these people operated with the best of intentions, but they had some pretty twisted ideas. And, people have always tried to grab the school system and use it to their ends, because they see how powerful it is. They see, well, if we can take control of the minds of children, we can certainly bring our whatever agenda we have into reality in a generation. So, yeah, that's true. John Dewey was a reformer at the turn of the century who was well funded by some pretty shadowy groups.
Yeah.
Who might have told himself a nice story about why education was so important and how it was, necessary to do things in a certain way for the good of society. I mean, that's usually one of the things that the people with the worst agendas say. It's for the children. It's for the common good. It's for our protection. They always have a story.
And they use that to create a facade.
Mm-hmm.
And they have an actual agenda behind them that they're pushing. It's if we can control what the masses of people think and what they do, then we can make them believe that what we're doing is right. It's manipulation. You know, it's for the kids, then everybody's first thought is, oh, well, then it's good because they're doing it for the kids. But is that what's really going on behind the scene?
And if you think about the impact that that's had on for a lot of people, like a complete inability to think. So I'm not a very political person, but I remember hearing Ron Paul after I had pretty much almost given up on political solutions to problems in 2007 when he started running for president. And I was like, wow, how did this guy get on TV? He's really honest, and he seems like he has some respect for the intelligence of the audience, which separates him from everybody else who's up on that stage with him. And how the other candidates who were warmongers were able just to so easily get away with the idea that Ron Paul was being irresponsible for this non-interventionalist foreign policy. If you think just common sense, Ron Paul is called an isolationist because he doesn't support aggressive military action against other countries. If you apply that to like a personal community common sense level, I want to talk to people instead of fight with them. People who fight, like if your neighbor gets mad at you and throws grenades into your yard, they're not like involved in the community. They're the isolationist. Violence isolates people. And the way that was just completely spun in the opposite direction was mind-boggling to me. But I think that people's lack of intellectual self-defense is a product of school.
When you stereotype and you put an image upon somebody to make them look bad, it's really just it's a manipulation of minds. It's the idea that if you believe what we say, then we control you. Don't think for yourself. Just listen to what we're saying.
And it was a real wake up call for me. I mean, this was like 6 years ago, but just to see how easy it was for them to pull off exactly what you're talking about, the manipulation of the public mind. And Ron Paul would say something that would be completely rational as far as I was concerned. Like, if we want to understand the difficult situation that we're in, we should look at our past actions to see how we got there. In a person's own life, that's like really, really sound advice. But it was the most ridiculous thing as it played in the mainstream media and with his political opponents. The idea of self-examination was irresponsible and fanciful, crazy, stupid, whatever word you want to put to it. The word we, though, that I think accomplished it, because when Ron Paul said we should look at the government's actions, people turned that around and said, Ron Paul says we're responsible for 9/11. He wasn't talking about me and you. He was talking about the actions of the U.S. government. So
Exactly. Even
the manipulation of language is something that I don't think people can defend themselves from because they haven't been educated to do so.
And that's when it falls into the public school system. You know, we don't teach them to be critical thinkers, and we don't teach them to analyze and question. We just teach them to say, oh, okay, I'm just going to believe what this person tells me instead of thinking for ourselves. And that's, you know, the idea is controlling is not a physical aspect. It's a mental aspect.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
And when we have the power to put massive amounts of people in public schools, and there's no way that you could tell me that they don't have agendas within these school systems, which they obviously do. They push many beliefs in schools. They manipulate, and they even lie in the textbooks that they give us. You know, if they wanted to teach us real history, we would be able to correlate, you know, what happened in Rome during the height of their empire that caused them to collapse. And what are we doing today that they had done to see that we're making the same mistakes and we're headed down the same path? They don't teach us that in school. And if you don't pay attention to the politics and what's going on today, then we'll never be able to correlate what was happening back then.
I absolutely agree. That's something that I've talked about a lot on my show, is this blindness to history because of the way it's taught in school. I mean, I remember being in like some social studies class, and that was, I said this in an earlier show, that when I saw your video, it just took me right back to ninth grade, where we would go up and down the rows and read out of a textbook, and I wanted to pull my hair out because it was so excruciating. It made me hate history. But then somehow 10 years later, I was teaching history because I was able to see that whole experience in a new way. I mean, all this being said, though, about the school system generally, do you think there's some kind of way to fix it? Do you think there's some kind of way that it would work or could work?
In my personal opinion, the school system right now is too far gone to be fixed. It has to be completely wiped out and rebuilt. There's some things in life that can't be fixed. They have to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the main issues, is we can't fix this problem. We have to completely redo it from the top down. And
what do you mean by that, from the top down?
We have to completely get rid of everything, this school system. We have to completely get rid of it. And we have to have more or less parents and teachers deciding, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And these are the things that have to be done and put in place. We can't fix it. It's too chaotic to be fixed right now.
Yeah, the reason why I asked what you meant by top down is, I mean, I really think I see an educated society, just to come up with some kind of shorthand to describe, you know, the situation, as something that really works from the bottom up. You know, from the individuals to a larger group. And I think a big part of our problem is I know this isn't what you were implying, but people have trusted authority, people have trusted power, and people have accepted a top-down model for just about everything. And education is really an individual pursuit.
Exactly. A lot of times, what I've noticed in the school system is that the schools make the students conform to the curriculum instead of having the curriculum conform to the student. And that's why a lot of these students don't learn and they don't grasp the concepts, is because they're forced to have to learn from one angle instead of having that conform to them.
Yeah, that's definitely a real problem. So that being said, what would you say you're doing for self-education? You know, like a lot of people go and they rely on the schools to educate them. But what are you doing, Jeff, to try and, you know, participate and really control your own learning experience?
Well, self-education is very important because there's a lot of things in school that they won't teach you and they won't give to you. You can go to the library. You know, if you want to get a real education, go to a library. You know, you can get online. You know, we live in the age of information. We can get on a computer and we can look up and learn. The only problem with the internet is, though, you have to make sure that what you're reading is verified and is real and is true.
Yeah, yeah. And the internet is great for, I mean, like the big divide between people for so long was literacy, right? Like people were empowered by being able to read, and that created all kinds of new opportunities for them. In fact, in many places, it was illegal to teach slaves to read because plantation owners understood that that would empower them. And today it's a divide between the information literate and the information illiterate. So we have all these people who are watching, you know, Fox News or MSNBC or whatever, and they think that's an accurate portrayal of what's happening in the world because they don't have that information literacy. And just to speak to what you said about the internet, it's a great way to teach yourself information literacy, to be able to, you know, look for sources. Wikipedia is a great website because Wikipedia is like a how-to guide. It'll tell you, it'll say this article is not properly sourced. You know, this article contains bias, and you can learn to look for those things.
Yeah. And if you can find the true information, then you can understand when somebody's being biased, because once you have the whole understanding and the grasp of what it is, you can tell when somebody has put in their own opinion and their own biased thoughts of it.
So, well, people have a lot of tells for how you can tell that they're trying to pull one over on you. So let me ask, I'll give you an example that I'll just try to generate off the top of my head. Can you remember like a memorable Ron Paul moment for you?
You know, he had once stated that, you know, he's a strict constitutionalist, and that because he is, you know, he is more conservative and he has voted more against tax increases, that wouldn't make him a viable candidate. And that's when they, you know, they try to twist up his ideas and his thoughts and try to play it off as the bad guy.
Sure. Yeah. That's really what I was speaking to too. And I said that people will give you these, in poker, they call it tells, you know, when somebody has this giveaway that they're trying to be a sneak, and the depths to which some people sunk to twist his message. If you're on the lookout for that, like once you learn that you should be distrustful of people in positions of power and authority, like the people in the media and the people on those stages at those debates very much are, they're spin doctors. They're trying to manipulate people. So once your alertness to that is turned up, that's another way to spot you know, when someone's trying to pull one over on you. But information literacy is definitely very, very important. And I was interested, like, with all the attention that you've gotten, have people been sending you things like, oh, you should listen to this or you should read this?
Yeah. Somebody had sent me a link to a book called The Pale Horse.
The Pale Horse.
The Pale Horse. And it speaks about how the government manipulates people into fear to, they put people in fear in order to manipulate them to think, oh, this is what we need to do. We should be doing this, when in reality, all it is they're just putting fear in you. You know, they spoke about how the government will fund terrorist organizations, and then those terrorist organizations will go off and they'll attack somebody, and they'll make it seem like, oh, they're bad. We need to pass this law for your protection. So,
oh, is this Behold the Pale Horse?
Yes, I think that's, yeah.
Okay, by William Cooper.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was interested. That was another. Do you have a little more time?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Another thing too that I think when people start, I'm not saying that you're just waking up to this, but when people really become aware of how different some aspects of the world around them is or are from what they've been told their whole lives and what they've kind of been manipulated to believe in school and society, they can become very angry. And, you know, unfortunately, really unfortunately for some, it leads to violence or some kind of unnecessary extremism. And William Cooper was a guy who was a radio host. He wound up getting, I think, shot by the police in some kind of strange domestic incident that I don't really remember the details of it. But it was a while ago. It was like more than 10 years ago. And he was replaced by a guy who's actually down there in Texas with you as kind of like the spokesman of this darker view of the world. Are you familiar with Alex Jones?
I'm a follower of Alex Jones.
Yeah.
They have definitely put a stereotype to the Alex Jones figure.
Mm-hmm.
He recently, a couple months ago, he had a debate on gun control with Piers Morgan. He got frustrated and he burst, he was heated. He was mad. He was fed up with what was going on. And when he had the outburst, they portray it as oh, this guy's crazy, he's insane, don't listen to him type of ordeal.
Mm-hmm. My experience with him, I know his site has a lot of good information. What I found to be most helpful and the advice that I give to people is to take it in doses, because I've described in the past on my show, like consuming InfoWars media for like 2 days in a row. And it really, I mean, I guess I can only speak from personal experience and from anecdotal experience or things that other people have told me, like it really darkens your worldview and can make people, I don't want to say paranoid, but it can really, I noticed a real change in my mood from consuming too much of that too fast. And I say that because I think it's really important to continue to push a message. And it looks like you've been really good at this so far, pushing a message of positivity, of peace. I think that's real important. So, I mean, I don't warn people against Alex Jones. If you go back and watch some movie that Alex Jones made like 12 years ago, he would have looked like the biggest nut in the world. But today, all the stuff that he said was going to happen in that movie is real.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm on the fence about him in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But the media empire that he has built is certainly very, very impressive. And he's clearly a smart guy. I think he's a bit of an alarmist sometimes. I think he goes a little too far. I think the Piers Morgan thing was an example of that, I think. But, you know, here's the other thing, too. Piers Morgan is exactly what Alex Jones said he is. He is a hatchet man. He is a propagandist. And Alex Jones knew that, even though I would have dealt with it differently, Alex Jones knew that Piers Morgan did not invite him there for a real debate.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Jones didn't give him one and didn't, you know, just said, OK, I'm on CNN. I'm going to talk the whole time about everything that I want people to know. Now, some people thought he was crazy and other people might have looked into that stuff a little bit that he was talking about. Yeah. So
Alex Jones has a very, it's the end of the world type image. But I think it's more him just trying to say this is serious. You know, it's. And I can completely agree with the taking it in small dosages, as you said, because the reality is sometimes truth hurts. You know, it's scary, but it's true. You know, and I wouldn't say that everything that Alex Jones has said is completely true, but a big majority of it is fairly true.
Yeah, I sometimes I feel like it's just painted with a little bit too much paranoia, but I generally agree with what you're saying. Anything else as far as other media that people have been sending to you or saying, listen to this, check out this?
I've been getting a lot of mainstream media, but not a whole lot of independent journalism and independent reporting.
But it sounds like that's where your eyes and ears are anyway, right? Like, you're not flipping on MSNBC and saying, oh, what's going on in the world?
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're already beyond that, which I think is great. One of the reasons why I ask is, has the name John Taylor Gatto ever been presented?
I think possibly. I've been sent a lot of things, but I think I have heard that name pop up.
Yeah, it's G-A-T-T-O. You could search YouTube. You can search my site. TragedyandHope.com is another great site. He did a movie, like a documentary with them, where he was a public school teacher for 30-some-odd years. And he wrote a book called The Underground History of American Education, which really provided a lot of historical context for things that, if you just say them, do sound very conspiratorial. And the problem with things sounding conspiratorial is that because a lot of people don't want to believe, you know, that the world is a very, very different place from what they've been told, being able to paint something as a conspiracy theory allows them to call it ridiculous and dismiss it, which means they never have to look at it.
Exactly.
And I think some people might try to. I read one editorial that somebody wrote about the incident at your school. And they were like, you know, he owes the teacher, and the person might have just trying to be like, you know, get a rise out of the audience or get clicks on their website or something. But they were like,
you know, the article you're speaking about, it was on the Dallas Morning News website, I believe.
Yeah, that was it. I wanted to contact that guy and see if he would come on the show. But then as I read it, I was like, is this guy just looking for attention? He really doesn't think.
I think it was more just get clicks on his website to get paid money, and more of a business move than a honest journalism.
Right. Yeah, that was kind of the impression that I got too. So before we wrap up, I have to tell you, I was a little overwhelmed when the show started, because I posted just on our Facebook page, on the School Sucks Facebook page, I'm interviewing Jeff Bliss. Does anyone have any questions? And I got about 15 questions in 5 minutes. So I'm just looking through them to see if there is anything else that we should cover. We did talk about why you dropped out in the first place. I don't really think we need to go over standardized tests. I think it was clear how you felt about that, and everybody who listens to my show knows how I feel about them.
Should definitely get rid of them.
I agree.
It's just a business.
Do you find any of the coursework in school right now challenging or interesting, or as this person asks, is it just mostly mindless regurgitation?
I don't find any. I mean, you can't really be biased about math or algebra or any kind of arithmetic based class. You can't really change that. Now, science in history, most definitely, I feel like that there's something going on in those classes that they're not telling us in the textbooks. And as far as English goes, I don't think that we're being taught the proper way for English in writing, speaking, and any kind of structural sentence making. I think that the curriculum is flawed purposely.
Yeah, this was one of, actually, you mentioned John Dewey earlier. This was one of his things when he was trying to plan his perfect socialist utopia. Part of the message that came across, or at least how it's been interpreted in many places, is that, well, not everybody needs to learn to read really well, you know?
Yeah.
And the way that vocabulary is taught in school always shocks me. I still work as an SAT tutor. And everybody tells the same story. They give us a list of words. We look them up. You know, we have a quiz on Friday and then we forget them all. How about teachers? I mean, do you have teachers, or have you had in the recent past teachers that you feel are like really great teachers?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that every teacher is bad, because I've had plenty of teachers who are excellent at the job they do.
Mm-hmm.
But there's always the others who could care less.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. I mean, I unfortunately have very few memories of good teachers in high school, but there were a few, and their impact was big. You know, unfortunately, at least in my memory, I don't think that they could be the salmon swimming upstream. You know, that's going to change the current of a broken system.
Yeah,
but there were definitely a few. Somebody else asks, what is your plan for after school? And what I would add to that is, when you realized that education was important and you decided to go back to school, which I, you know, as I already said, I think are two different things. Why didn't you think about like doing a GED?
The reality behind GEDs is they're useless. GEDs are useless because there's diplomas, and now diplomas are useless because there's degrees and bachelor's degrees, master's degrees, and associate degrees, and it's a system designed to make you go to college. That's the way they've designed the system, because they want an entire generation indebted, because the way the economy is going and the way that we continue to inflate the dollar, when it crashes and the fiat currency is worthless, you're going to have an entire generation with thousands and thousands of dollars in debt, and they're going to owe that, and they're going to get their money regardless of your situation.
I agree with a lot of that. I definitely think that college has become more of a scam, and there's this billionaire guy. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. His name is Peter Thiel. He founded PayPal, and he was one of the initial funders of Facebook. And he started this thing called the Thiel Foundation, where he was actually paying really talented kids to drop out of college and get to work. Like, you know, if you have an idea that can go, that you can put into action now, why are you sinking yourself into debt? Like, let's get to work on it. Let's see what you can do. Now, granted, this is something that's not for everybody, but it's interesting. We were doing a live show the other night, and my co-host brought up that college used to be something that was for the few, right? It was for specialized careers, mm-hmm. and most people didn't go. And now it seems to have flipped to where college is for everybody, and the really, really talented people, those who are above, those are the people who skip college, like Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, the people in Thiel's foundation. So it is very much it become more of an extension of high school.
Yes.
And I think that's troubling, and I think that's dangerous, and I think the debt it really is sinking a lot of young adults in a big, big way, and it's really unfortunate. Do you want to go to college?
I'm 50-50 about college. I'm not sure what I want to do yet in life. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it's, where's the economy going? Is this the best investment that I could make? Is this going to help me, or is it going to hurt me?
Right. Is there something in mind that you think you might want to do career-wise?
I think public speaking would be nice, but It's hard to say, because I also enjoy scientific work.
Mm-hmm.
So something maybe in the science field as well is something I'm interested in.
Well, I think as far as public speaking is concerned, you are suddenly on the right track. I would say no thanks to school, but it was actually your opposition to school that really propelled you into public consciousness, and I think that's great. So I'm sure you're going to continue to get offers to become, I think, more of a spokesperson for young people, because it is disappointing to me that there aren't more young people doing what you're doing, and it was really encouraging to me to see what you did. So have you thought about this topic, like trying to move forward with this?
I've been speaking to my sister about designing a website for students, parents, and teachers to all come and collaborate, give word, and speak to one another with positive criticism and try and form a collective group so that everybody has a voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say right now in the position being in high school and trying to finish work and take care of all that and at the same time continue to make a change. That's going to be the difficult part. I think that if more students were willing to do what I've done and speak up and speak out against how they feel, I think that it would have a bigger impact.
Well, the reason why I asked about the GED too is, my advice would be this. I wouldn't give up on it. It may be like research it a little more, because I think that I will tell you this. Nobody has ever in any job that I've ever applied for asked for a high school diploma. And on most jobs that require some kind of application, it says, if I remember correctly, high school diploma / GED, and there's a box that you can check there. So I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying that go do that. What I'm saying is don't give up on it as an option, since you do have two more years to spend in high school. If things become overly frustrating, because you're right, in a certain sense, you are kind of a marked man, at least in the short term. And I don't know what that's going to mean. Maybe it means nothing. Maybe they're the teachers who might be gunning for you now in a couple weeks are on to some other problem. But I usually say, I used to be a college consultant, and one of the things that I could never say, because I would immediately be fired by the parents and probably the company that I was working for, is that people should go to college with a clear goal in mind. It's a very expensive way to try and find out what you want to do. And yeah, there's no shame in starting in community college to say, you know, do I really like this subject? Do I really like this environment? Would I really want to invest 2 to 4 to 6 years in this pursuit? And I think a lot of people rush right into these $20,000, $30,000 schools because they have these loans, and there's no class on debt really in high school. So why not? So it's something that I would approach very, very cautiously. Yeah. It does serve a purpose for other people, but I would really like to see more people. And it sounds like you're already to this point where you're not viewing it as the 13th grade, something that you have to do. Or, you know, you're some kind of failure, because that's certainly the message that's being pushed. I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
The last thing I would say is I really found that it was transformative in my thinking when I use the word we in this concept of collectivism that's so dangerous. When the word would come out of my mouth, I would say, now, am I talking about me in a group that I'm actually a part of, or am I talking about the government, you know? Because it's two very, very different things, and really, really changed my thinking to see that as a separate entity. And it really, really helped me better embrace individualism and self-responsibility, because I really think that that's where the education solution lies, in self-teaching and learner-driven education, whether it's homeschooling, unschooling. I think that's a really important thing to keep in mind. And even if you're in school, it doesn't mean that self-education isn't still really important. In fact, you have to be, I think, more vigilant there, because there's so much bad information coming at you.
Yeah. Yeah. If nothing changes, I hope that someday we at least look up to a better, you know, we should look up to the highest standard. You know, in America, we're not ranked very well in education anymore. You look at, I believe it's Finland, who's number one in education. What are they doing in Finland that makes them so great? And what are we not doing in America? Why are we not setting our standards up to them?
Well, this is where I think it's very important to shift back to that idea of education as an individual pursuit, because the question, what are they doing that we are not doing, opens up this I was going to call it a can of worms, but it's more like a barrel of snakes, where people say, oh, well, you know what it is? The kids aren't in school long enough, right? Which helps the unions. Or the teachers aren't getting paid enough, which helps the unions. Or there's something wrong with the curriculum that might help some special interest group or the government. So reform is very difficult of any system when there's so many powers already clinging on to it. So what Finland does is they have a very socialized system. They pay the teachers as much as doctors. I don't know if their school year is any different, but it's probably not something, you know, I know if you're somewhat of a student of Ron Paul's economic outlook, it's probably not something that's sustainable long term. And it is something that is very socialistic. And those will be the things that people in American politics cling on to. Give the government more power, feed the system more money. Yeah. I did record a show for about 20 minutes just about my initial thoughts about, you know, seeing your video. And I said, I hope this doesn't spark another fake and temporary education debate where all of the special interest just, you know, re-up with their agendas and say, oh, see, if you had listened to us, this we wouldn't be having these problems. So I encourage you to check out my site at schoolsucksproject.com and see where we're coming from. But I gave up on the idea of education reform a long time ago. And that was just me and my experience. It's not that there's not willing students. It's not that there's not really energetic and passionate teachers. It's just the machinery, the monster of it was too much.
Yeah.
So I hope you'll check out schoolsucksproject.com, and we would love to get an update on how things are going for you in the future to see what you're up to. And I really, really wish you the best of luck. And I just want to say one more time that I was really energized by your video. I wish you had been in some of my classes when I was in high school, because those were exactly the things that I wanted to say. So is there anything that you want to plug or you want people to know about?
Just to understand that there's a bigger picture than what we're seeing.
Oh, yeah.
Or, well, what they're seeing.
Yeah, I that's definitely a good note to end on. And you do have a Twitter that I noticed you picked up a lot of followers. Do you want people to follow? Do you want this attention, or are you kind of looking to, I know you said in one of your interviews that you were more of a fly under the radar guy. Would you like to just go back to like more of a quiet life?
I'm not sure. I mean, the attention, as long as it's not bad,
mm-hmm.
I'm fine. As long as it's not negative, then I'm fine with it. But I think already I'm going back to under the radar, so I'm not too worried about that.
Yeah, that's good. And I'll tell you what, too, from my experience, you've been pretty lucky, because it's not so often that somebody stands up and like bravely speaks the truth and gets positive reviews. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who are not into the truth. So that was another thing that I found really encouraging, that people were receiving what you did in such a positive way. I was excited to see that. Thank you so much for your time. And I'm serious. I hope you'll check back in with us in the future and let us know how things are going.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right, Jeff. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye.